Morning, we have, look at little Sophia Naponic here. She was born for the stage. Whoa. Not quite that stage. Not yet. This morning we're beginning a series and called Legacy. And you know, it's the responsibility of every generation. Every generation that exists on this earth are given this responsibility to pass on to the next generation. To little Sophia here. To her generation, even the generations that will follow her. It's our responsibility to pass on to them the message of the cross, the message of the gospel, the power of God at work in their midst. And for us to exist in any other way would do an injustice to the message of the gospel. See, every generation, we have little Sophia here, and all of the hope and potential that rests in a young child. It rests in the young child only to the point that we are willing to pass on to them what we possess. And every generation exists not only for its own sake, but for the sake of the next generation. And the moment a generation stops existing for the next generation, it stops existing altogether. This is why I have Sophia up here just to show you. This is why we are here as a church. This is why we exist. I don't want to hold her the whole time because she might pee on me. Which would be, you know, a nice experience, but that is why, that's why we exist as a church. You know, this month, as Heidi mentioned, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. As a church, what a remarkable point of celebration. What a remarkable moment just to look back on these last 40 years. And the last 40 years of our church have been incredible. We have a rich heritage here at Calvary. Incredible things, remarkable things have taken place. We saw hundreds and hundreds of children come into our church as we would bust them in from all of these surrounding communities. We saw a school started as we believe so much in not only developing children spiritually, but also educationally. We started a school to help our children. Less than 2 months after our church was started, in April 1974, we saw our founding pastor standing upon the roof of the church preaching because of a deal he made with the church that 1,000 people would come to Sunday school, which they did that morning. We saw our former pastor, Pastor Todd, kiss a cow in view of the newspaper cameras because of money, thousands that were raised for missions. We have a rich heritage as a church. Incredible stories, incredible accomplishments. But those accomplishments, looking back on those accomplishments and celebrating, if we simply just do that, we've done an injustice to our history. See, our heritage, our past is so rich that it doesn't just deserve us looking back with joy, but looking forward with anticipation of what God could do in the following generation. We aren't a church that simply lives off the victories of the past, but as the old hymn says, we want to see the Spirit of the living God fall afresh on me again. Our prayer is, Lord, move again in our midst. Lord, do it again. Lord, I know you've done it throughout history, but do it again. Lord, move again in our midst. Lord, heal the sick again. Lord, touch the broken again. Lord, mend those who are beaten and battered again. Lord, do it again in our midst. We're not satisfied simply with looking back, although we want to. And this whole month, we're going to be looking back and we're going to be celebrating the things that God has done here at Calvary over these last 40 years. But I hope you feel the same way that I do. Lord, I'm not satisfied with simply just looking back. But I want it for me today. I want it for this next generation. As I held Sophia, I want it for them tomorrow. I want them to experience the power of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about what your kids or grandkids or great-grandkids will be like and what their lives will be like in the future. What it'll look like. You know, will they be driving flying cars? Will travel from here to the moon be as common as travel from here to Florida? Will they be maybe using hologram televisions or computers? Will time travel finally be possible? Michael J. Fox will be pulling in his DeLorean and finally, what will it be like? What will life be like for the next generation? And as we think about that, we have a part to play. What's incredible about answering that question of what will life be like for this next generation? The decisions we are making today will help shape that next generation. And we can think about all of these fun things about the next generation and the future. But the most poignant question that we can ask is, will this next generation know Jesus like we know him today? Will they know Jesus like we know him today? Because all the other stuff will come and go, but Christ will remain. Christ will remain. In the book of Psalms, chapter 102, verse 18, we're given this powerful challenge. It says, let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. May praise the Lord. We have this opportunity to make sure that happens. Will the generation that follows us praise the Lord as we do today? Will they experience the power of God working in their midst like we do today? Will they know the power and provision of God like we have? The answer is that they will never know unless they are told, unless they are shown the power of God in their lifetime as we have been. And if there's ever been a generation in history that experienced the power of God moving in their midst, it was the generation of Joshua. Joshua followed this great leader Moses. And Joshua, the young leader that led the nation of Israel. And he didn't just lead them, but he led them into a conquest, conquering the land of Canaan that God had promised them. And as Joshua led the people of Israel, the people of God, into the land of Canaan, he led them in this conquest of the miraculous, as God would time and time again give them the power and might to conquer nations. God moved mightily on their behalf as they would go from city to city, nation to nation. As they saw victory after victory, they conquered the fortified walls of Jericho. Some of you maybe remember the childhood song is Joshua walked around the walls of Jericho. Joshua marched the walls of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. They conquered the fortified walls of Jericho. Later, you see them as they conquered the Amorite kings. They defeat the Amorite kings as the sun would stand still for 24 hours. The sun didn't set for 24 hours. God did miraculous, supernatural things through Joshua and through that generation. And this generation knew the power of God because they experienced it every day. Some of us here today, like this Joshua generation, have experienced the power of God. And the generation of Joshua saw the power of God work on their behalf in a greater way than any generation previous to them had experienced. And maybe you're here and you look back over your life and you would say, I've experienced the power of God in my life in a greater way than any other generation in my family ever has. What a remarkable thing. What a remarkable heritage and experience of your life. That's what the Israelites had at this time period. I'm sure all of us could, some of us could share stories of the miraculous, of the incredible things that God has done. Maybe even like myself, you could share moments where someone who was crippled in a wheelchair under the power of God stood up and began to walk. Or moments where God supernaturally provided finances that were needed just at the right time. Where God intervened on our behalf and did the impossible. And you have stories of the miraculous, stories of the supernatural, where God has moved mightily. And there's a confidence that many of us who've experienced this possess in the power of God. Not because someone simply told you about it. It's not because you learned it in a Sunday school lesson or you were sitting and a teacher just said, this is the power of God and this is what it's about. And you said, okay. And you have this confidence in the power of God because you've experienced it. You've watched the lame walk. You've watched the blind see. You've watched God provide in difficult moments. You have a confidence in the power of God because you've experienced it. Because you know it. And the same was true with this generation of Joshua. The Israelites of Joshua's day felt the same way. They felt this confidence that there was nothing that they couldn't overcome. Nothing that they would face that they couldn't conquer. Their confidence is echoed by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Where Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? There was this confidence that they had. Because they had watched the power of God do what everyone said couldn't be done. Israel wasn't fortified. They didn't have the military might of the other nations in Canaan. Everything on paper would have said the Israelites didn't stand a chance. But God intervened on their behalf. The power of God was at work on their behalf. And because of this, they had this incredible confidence. There was nothing that they couldn't face. There was nothing that they couldn't do. But as Joshua's generation began to age and slowly pass away, something devastating took place. We read of this in the book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, starting in verse 6. This difficult, devastating circumstance unfolds in verse 6. It says, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. This was Joshua and his generation. They had served God and they saw the power of God, the great things that he has done. And that's us today. Many of us have served the Lord, maybe for a few weeks, maybe a few years. We've seen the power of God and the great things that he has done. What an incredible point of celebration. But it goes on in verse 8. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, meaning after this whole generation, Joshua's generation had passed, it says another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals, which are the false prophets and the false idols. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. As this generation passed on, the generation that followed, the Joshua generation, the ones that had seen the power of God work in a powerful, mighty way, this generation followed behind them. And it says that they didn't even know God or what he had done for Israel. Their legacy was nothing more than a story. The legacy that they left was nothing more than a story. And the sad thing is they didn't even know the story. And as they didn't even know the story, they didn't even know the power of God, it says that they turned from God. They began to worship other gods and other idols. And they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. What a shame. What a shame it would be to see a generation pass away and not know God. It's a scary thought. The power of God could be forsaken in the matter of just one generation. One generation. And if it happened to this most powerful generation, what's to say it couldn't happen again? What's to say it couldn't happen today? What's to say that what God has done in the past could be forsaken? We celebrate and reflect on what God has done over these last 40 years. But what is our legacy going to be? What will that next generation know of us? Will they know the power of God as we have known it? Will they have experienced it? God help us if we become so enamored with our past that we forsake the next generation. We celebrate to such a point and extent the victories of our past, how the power of God has moved in our past. But we never give the next generation the opportunity to experience the same power. That a generation might follow behind us and neither know God nor what he has done. God help us if that were to take place. And today we live in a world where history is preparing to repeat itself. We live in a world where the next generation, known as a millennial generation, those born from 1981 on, are becoming increasingly secular. In a recent study published by the Washington Post, it says that only one quarter, 25% of millennials or this generation say they attend religious services at least once a week. Only 25%. Among the same generation who were raised, those that were raised in a white mainline Protestant church, only 59% continue to identify with their Christian faith. means 41% don't. Only 11% of this generation were raised religiously unaffiliated, meaning they had no religious background, only 11%. However, one quarter, 25% today, identify themselves as religiously unaffiliated. No religious ties or background. We serve, we live in a culture, in a world where we're watching history repeat itself. As Judges 2:10 says, that this whole generation is growing up who neither knew the Lord or what He has done. We're experiencing this. But what do we do? How do we turn the tide of this next generation? The answer is we work together. We do whatever it takes as the generations behind. And we work to reach that next generation, to help them experience the power of God. That the power of God that we've experienced over these last 40 years is not simply something to look back on, but to look forward to. Our greatest legacy will not be the stories of yesteryear. Our greatest legacy won't be the things that have happened over the last 40 years. It will be experiencing the power of God right now, right here. It will be experiencing the power of God for every generation. Every generation, giving them the opportunity. Allowing them to experience more than just a story, but the power of God. And there are a couple things that we look at when we want to see God move on our behalf. We want to see the power of God move, not allow the next generation to be like this generation that followed Joshua. The first thing is we don't want to let tradition rob the timeless power of God. We don't let tradition rob the timeless power of God. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus encountered a woman in the temple. And this woman had been crippled for 18 years. She was hunched over. She couldn't walk straight. For 18 years, she had been this way. And on this particular day on the Sabbath, Jesus sees her in the temple and He heals her immediately. And for the first time in 18 years, she stands up, upright. And miraculously, God healed her. And because this was the Sabbath, what Jesus had just done was unlawful. And one of the religious leaders immediately, he sees Jesus heal this woman. He immediately says to Jesus, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." What a harsh statement. Jesus just healed this woman that had been crippled for 18 years. And because of their tradition, they were trying to limit the power of God. When we allow tradition to rob us of the timeless power of God, we have done an injustice to that power. God wants to move today. And you know, every generation sees a move of God in a different way. It's never the same. Every generation sees a move of God in a different way. October 30th, 1517, Martin Luther hung the 95 Theses upon the door of the Catholic Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And he saw a move of God break free that we now know today as the Protestant Reformation. He broke away from the tradition of the Catholic Church that had robbed them of the power of God. We saw one man stand in the face of tradition and say, "I want to see God move today. I'm not satisfied with the stories of yesteryear. I need Him to move today." In April 1906, a man by the name of William Seymour, an African-American pastor, began to hold services in this little mission church on Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California. As this African-American pastor had such a hunger for the presence and power of God, he began to preach the gospel. And over the next 8 years, revival broke free in this little mission church on Azusa Street. They started to see African-Americans and whites, Hispanics, all worshiping God in the same place. Something that in the early 1900s was unheard of, was looked down upon, was condemned. And this one man, William Seymour, was willing to stand in the face of tradition and say, "I need the power of God to move for my generation. I need the power of God to move for this next generation." Out of that revival came a number of denominations, one of those being the Assemblies of God, which we now are part of. That one man who was willing to say, I'm not going to allow tradition to rob me of the timeless power of God. Tradition has its place. It's important. However, the power of God will move in different ways in each generation. God wants to move afresh and anew for our generation, for the next generation. And if we allow tradition to put a wall up between us and God, we have now allowed that tradition to become an idol in place of Christ. And God wants to move on our behalf today, in our generation, in the next generation. And we don't want to let tradition rob us of the timeless power of God. The tradition of the past has its value, but the most important thing is the timeless power of God. The second thing is we don't want to settle for monuments, but a fresh move of God. We don't want to settle for monuments, but a fresh move of God. If you've ever studied the history of revival, revival is such an incredible thing to look at. There are revivals that have taken place throughout history. Revivals like the Great Awakening, the Great Welsh Revival, the Azusa Street Revival I mentioned earlier. All of these revivals saw thousands and thousands of people come to Christ, experience the power of God. But one continuous thread is run through all of them. And that is that not one of them is alike. They all were different. And if we allow ourselves to simply build monuments, we could miss out on a fresh move of God. Joshua and his generation saw God move in powerful ways. One of those ways was as Joshua led Israelites, millions of people, across the Jordan River. The Jordan River is at flood stage. It was a mighty river. And Joshua had millions of people. And God did the miraculous, just as he had done for Moses. And God stopped this river in flood stage, dried up the riverbank, and the people of Israel, people of God, walked across the river on dry land. I mean, incredible. Incredible. Could you imagine walking across this river? This is a story you would tell to your kids and your grandchildren. This is a remarkable story. And you know what Joshua and his generation did? What they did was they built a monument to remember what God had done, which was appropriate. To remember what God had done. But if we simply look at the monuments and just reflect back and say, that's nice and good, but we never pursue the same power, the monument has lost its power and impact. What God has done has lost its power and impact. It's the responsibility of every generation to help the following generation experience a fresh move of God. Even the generation that followed one of the mighty moves of God on the day of Pentecost, 200 believers were in the upper room and they saw the Spirit of God, the power of God move. Just less than 50 years later, a few decades later, we see that next generation already start to miss out on this power of God. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 1, speaking of the church of Sardis, it says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Only decades removed from the day of Pentecost, we already see this church in Sardis having the appearance of God, but no expression, no inner working of God. They have the appearance of life, but Jesus said, but you are dead. How scary that could be, that we could build monuments so large that the next generation misses out on the power of God, the power of the gospel. If what God has done in our lifetime is worth the stories, it's worth the pursuit to experience Him again for a new generation. Experience Him again for a new generation. God is wanting to move, not just in the past, but also in the future. And here's the incredible thing. It will look different. It will always look different. When to see the power of God move in this next generation is going to look different than the generation that follows. Every generation is going to look different. And in the church world, that process of change becomes very uncomfortable because it will look different. Throughout history, we've seen change take place in the church. As I mentioned, the change that took place for Jesus and his disciples. As Jesus died upon the cross, he rose again. And he proclaimed that the Jewish law no longer was needing to be followed. We don't follow Jewish law today because Christ fulfilled it. Could you imagine being a disciple? These young men, all of their lives had grown up in Jewish culture. The temple was the center of their culture, of their world, of their religious world. And now all of a sudden, just like that, Jesus came, died, rose again 3 days later. No longer is the temple the center of their religious experience. Now it's in house churches. We see throughout the book of Acts as Christians and believers would gather together in these homes and celebrate. All of a sudden, everything changed for them. Could you imagine what it would be like? All of your life, you're told you go to the temple and you worship. And now all of a sudden, just like that, you no longer go to the temple, you go to a home. Drastic change. Martin Luther experienced this. He brought this about through the Reformation. No longer did you have to pay indulgences, which were basically payments to buy your salvation. Now all of a sudden you can have salvation through faith in Christ alone. Radical change and transformation. You see, and later on in history, as we go into the 1900s, we saw change drastically impact the church world. Some of you, I would imagine, weren't alive during this time, but in the early 1900s, we saw automobiles start to be used more frequently. The invention of automobiles and the wide mass production of automobiles. What did that do? How did that impact the church, really? It drastically impacted the church. Because up until that time, you would go to the church that you lived closest to, that you could walk to. Now, all of a sudden, you could drive to another church. So churches now had to pay more attention to what they were doing because people could actually choose a different church. Or you go into the 1950s as the interstate system starts to develop. You start to see the influx of bigger churches and mega churches because now people can drive more distance to go to church. And you saw these big churches pop up in different crossroads and intersections, just as we are here today. You start to see the influx of women in the workplace. Women are now empowered in the workplace more than they'd ever been before. And that expectation transitioned into the church. Women started to take more of a leadership role in the church. All of these changes in our culture and our world impact the church. And the next generation is growing up in a culture that is drastically changing. The United States of America in 2012 is not the United States of the 1950s or 60s. It's a drastically different place. And if ever, a generation needs the move of God, it's this generation that's coming up behind us. And whose responsibility is that? It's ours. It's our responsibility that we can work together to reach that next generation. That we can create a church that's saying, whatever it takes, we're going to make sure this isn't said of us, that a generation follows us that doesn't know God or what He has done. We will do whatever it takes to reach the next generation. That our greatest legacy won't be our stories. Our greatest legacy will be the power of God. Letting the power of God work in that next generation. That's what God has called us to. That's what God has called every generation to. It's our responsibility to pass on what God has done in us. Not simply through story, but through experience. That each generation can experience the power of God. As we read this morning in Luke chapter 4 and Isaiah 61, that the Lord, the sovereign Lord, would anoint us to preach good news. Every generation would be anointed to preach good news. But they can't be anointed if the power of God is not working in our midst. If we have become just nothing more than a monument. If we want to see a fresh move of God this morning. As the worship team comes today, we're going to finish a little early today with this sole purpose. That we can push into the presence of God to answer this prayer. Lord, move afresh in me today. Lord, let your power move today. What God has done yesterday isn't enough for today. We need Him to move today. We're celebrating this whole month, 40 years of ministry. But it would be a crime and it would be a shame if 40 years from now the following generations couldn't look back and say, look what God has done in my life. That's our desire. That every generation that follows us, those not even born yet, as Psalms 102 says, that they can proclaim the praise of God. Generations not even born yet, that we can ensure that they will experience the power of God. That one day, they won't just look back on empty stories, but they can look back and say, remember when the power of God moved on my behalf. Remember when the power of God did this, healed my brother. The power of God provided for my sister. The power of God transformed my parents. We want to see the power of God work for every generation. Will you stand with me this morning? And today, as we finish a few minutes early, we're going to be opening these altars, not for the sake of just show, but for the sake of encountering the presence of God. The power of God will work in our hearts. We don't want to just go through motions. We don't want to just become a religious institution. We want to become a healing station for the sick and broken. We want to become a place that houses the power of God. For people who are going through difficulties know, if they can go anywhere, they can come to Calvary and know that the power of God is working here. They can experience the power of God. That every generation, although it's going to look different, it's going to sound different, although it might look different, that every generation will experience that power of God in a new and fresh way. As the worship team plays this morning, if you're hungry for the power of God, if you want to see the power of God move in your life this morning like it never has before, I want to encourage you to come to the altar. Just spend a few moments. We're finishing early to give you the time, the space to do just that. So the worship team comes. I want to encourage you to come to the altars this morning. Lord, we need more of you. Lord, we are not satisfied with simply looking back, but we look forward and say, Lord, we need the power of God to move fresh this morning. Jesus, move on our behalf this morning. Holy Spirit, release your power in us this morning. Lord, we come before you to these altars even this morning and ask, Lord, that you will move in a new generation, move in a new way. Lord, let us not live off of the victories of the past. Lord, let us step in to a new and fresh move of God today.